This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. Today, we're fortunate to have on the program two outstanding patriots, both of whom I'm proud to call personal friends. We have Congressman Arthur Winstead, Democrat from Mississippi, and the Reverend T. Robert Ingram, rector of St. Thomas's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Gentlemen, it's a distinct pleasure to have both of you with us today.
Thank you, Dick. It's good to be here.
Thank you, Dick. It's always a pleasure to appear with you on your program.
Mr. Ingram, I'd like to start the questioning with you, if I might. Recently, in your church, you gave a sermon entitled The Government Plan for Seizure of the Churches. This sermon has attracted wide attention across the nation. I understand that it's been reprinted any number of times, and in excess of 100,000 copies have been distributed. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the thesis that you make in this sermon.
Well, the sermon deals with what has happened in the civil defense program, where there is an office of the Director of Religious Affairs. And that officer has outlined his program in a magazine article in the Living Church, a magazine for Episcopalians. And there he sets forth a plan of action, which I interpret as amounting to nothing less than a government takeover of complete control of all the churches in an emergency.
Well, now, wait a minute. We've all been told and have been brought up to believe that our government was founded on the principle of separation of church and state, and that this is one historic principle which is being maintained down to the present time. Do you mean that this principle of separation of church and state is in danger today?
I think it is very much in danger, and I think partly because the general interpretation of the law, of the principle, has been that the church and God should be kept out of politics, whereas the constitutional amendment and the real principle is that the government should be kept out of the churches. And here we have a complete, frank program, pardon me, which provides for the government to establish control over all of the clergy through requiring them to register. If they do not register, they will not be permitted to perform their ministry in a disaster area in time of emergency.
You say this has been set up by the Office of Civil Defense?
Yes, sir.
And exactly how does this plan work? Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, the plan is outlined by the man who was director. I say he was director because I've been advised indirectly that the office is being reorganized. Is that all of the clergy are to register with the Office of Religious Affairs, Office of Civil Defense. When an emergency is declared, then nobody except no minister except those who are registered will be permitted to function in a disaster area. The Office of Religious Affairs has also stated that it is to be expected that the state will require the church buildings for its use. And furthermore, the officer has said that if Christian people do not approve of this program, that clearly they are not taking advantage of an opportunity to worship God properly.
Is the officer who announced this program himself a minister?
Yes, sir. He is a Lutheran minister, the Reverend Fred Kern.
Congressman Winstead, I'd like your reaction to this. I know that this development is something that has proved shocking to most of us the first time that we've heard about it. You are a member of the Armed Services Committee, which deals with the civil defense setup in the country. Had you heard anything about this until Mr. Ingram's sermon brought it to your attention?
No, I'll have to be honest with you, Dick. I heard so much about civilian defense for the last few years, and so much talk and so many plans, and so few people seem to know very much about what it was all about. I have not had an opportunity to go into this, and I'm delighted to have the privilege to hear Dr. Ingram talk. I want the literature to be able to furnish me. As soon as we have completed with the ABAS subcommittee on this realignment of the National Guard and Reserve subject, I understand we'll have representatives before our full committee, not necessarily on the plan of organization, but dealing with civilian defense. Did I understand you to say that it is your understanding they plan to organize this to such an extent that ministers would have to register with and become a part of the official body of civilian defense before they would permit them to participate in the relief of disaster in some given area?
Yes, sir, that's what I said. Here is actually the statement as printed by Dr. Kern in this Living Church. He says, and I'm reading here, if clergymen want to preserve their freedom of religion and their freedom to minister to the dying and distressed, it will be necessary for them to be registered with the civil defense organization.
In other words, no church activity could participate in a disaster, else they, if I understand you correctly, if this should be put into force, they could prohibit the activity of the religious groups in a given community to relieve, aid, and assistance in time of emergency.
That is correct. And I heard Dr. Kern state before the House of Bishops of the Episcopal Church that if a minister who was not registered insisted upon being admitted into an area, even though he were wearing clerical clothing or were personally recognized, that he would find a shotgun in his belly.
I'd like to interrupt to ask this question, Mr. Ingram. Is it not true that civil defense, in addition to its function in time of enemy attack, also is called into being at the time of some natural disaster? I was talking to you not too long ago, and you were telling me about an incident which seemed to bear this out, which occurred in the Houston area during the hurricane of recent vintage.
Yes, last fall, at the time of Hurricane Carla, the civil defense mechanism went into operation. Just a few weeks ago, when I was in New Orleans and talked about this matter to a group of people there, a Salvation Army officer stood up and reported that he had gone over to Houston at the time of Hurricane Carla and had been denied admission into the area because he was not registered. He finally obtained admission after several long-distance telephone calls, but even then only on the proposition that, or on the basis that the Salvation Army as a whole was registered.
So actually this plan is apparently already in effect.
It would seem so, yes.
Well, Dr. Ingram, it's naturally you know that our church people and most people, whether they're devoted religious Christian people or not, most any self-respecting man has a lot of respect for Christian people and the influence they have and what they can do in emergencies or whatnot. But certainly they have more or less functioned on their own in the past, have you not?
Well, not only have we functioned on our own, or at least independently of government authority, but it seems to me that one of the or perhaps the fundamental basis of all Christian work is that it is done in the name of Christ, not in the name of the law.
Seems to me that if we had a national agency, call it civilian defense, whatever you want to call it, and force every Christian leader to become a member of that organization to participate, that it's another good opening wedge of centralizing the propaganda that we might want to send to certain people along our political lines or any other lines if you're going to organize any kind of organization to that extent. I appreciate an opportunity to go into this because we certainly want to give it a look over before such an organization could be created without people actually knowing what's happening.
Well, I certainly appreciate your interest, Congressman, because I feel the matter is extremely important.
Congressman Winstead, I'd like to ask you this. Is this a symptom of how big our government has become, that a plan so potentially dangerous, so potentially fraught with the ill effect on the American public, can be actually put in operation without the people being aware that it's being done?
Dick, I feel it year after year and for the last several years that we have seen this so-called centralized power of government grow in every walk of our life. And I'd say the last place we want it to get the upper hand is in the Christian acts of the life of the people.
Bless your
this,
heart.
This sounds to me that if such an organization should go into effect, that it would be the opening wage for a national organization. It could be used with terrific political power and pressure, and I think certainly that every day we see our best Americans sometime misled with the type of propaganda that's being shot on your television programs, your radio programs, your news commentators. We hear business talk so much about so many warp reporters this day and time, then I want to ask business, why do they pay for so many of these if they don't like so much of it going? I think that we are centralizing everything in Washington to such an extent that the average American, not all of course, but we're more or less taking what somebody else tells us through organized effort, brainwashing our people on many subjects today, and I certainly want this to have a look over before it goes into effect.
Well, Mr. Ingram, in reading your sermon, I noticed that you had mention of one time when this apparently was tried before on a lesser degree. That's during the war between the states. Could you tell us a little bit about that episode?
Yes, I just chose one particular incident for illustration. It has happened many times, or has been attempted many times.
I see.
And perhaps we have been more fortunate in the United States than in any other part of the Christian world in escaping it. But at that time, there was a Mr. McPheeters in Missouri, a Presbyterian minister, who evidenced that he was not sympathetic to the Northern cause, and then went so far as to baptize an infant with the name of a Southern general. So the provost marshal in that area removed him from his pulpit. The word came to President Lincoln, who in turn remanded the order of the provost marshal and made a statement to the effect that the government had no business interfering in church affairs in that manner. And then later on, when the congregation wanted to remove Mr. McPheeters itself, an appeal was made to Mr. Lincoln to keep him, and he refused to intervene in that case.
I see. Well, let's hope that the same effect can be had this time.
May I ask one other question? Did I understand you that Protestants, Catholics, and many religious leaders are also with you in opposing this type of move at the present time?
Yes, I'm happy to say that I have been contacted from all over the country by clergymen of all denominations, many by long-distance telephone, mostly for just a confirmation of what they found difficult to believe was so, and then for permission to go ahead and use such information as I had given.
Gentlemen, sorry to have to break in right now, but our time has gone by very quickly. Look forward to continuing this discussion on the next program. Our guests have been Congressman Arthur Winstead, Democrat from Mississippi, and the Reverend T. Robert Ingram, rector of St. Thomas's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Join us again next week at the same time for another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.